The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Now, Mike, as we get started here, I hope you don't mind this. Just before we get right into this, I have a quick story for you. Is that okay?
You've never done this before.
I don't know. It's just a quick story. So I have a friend, and sometimes people in your life are just like amazing, right? You know, sometimes, I mean, not everybody's amazing. You're amazing, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
But a lot of amazing people. And so I've got this guy that like is a real estate guy, you know, like me, and he's been a mentor to me, and he's been inspired me, like inspired me to write another book. And he's, you know, he's just somebody I could go to for advice all the time. And in addition to all that and all the things he's done, he encouraged me to do this show and stuff like that. On top of all that, I found out that he had adopted adopted his son, and he loves kids so much. And so we're just talking, and he was like, "Don, you should do a show about adoption." And I was like, "Man, well, that would makes a lot of sense." And this, I admire him so much. And then to find that out on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did he do? He connected me to his good friend, Deborah Hewitt, with Sunshine State Adoption, who's our guest right now.
All right.
So, Deborah, are you there?
Hello, I am. Yes.
Yay.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so glad to have you, Deborah. And so it's Sunshine State Adoption and Home Study Services. That's your organization. Is that correct?
Yes. That is correct.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha. And we have a cool mutual friend. And, you know, what we try to do is on the Crossman Conversation is we try to talk about things that are hard subjects and solutions. And, you know, we live in a world that tends to be, I always joke with Mike about this. We live in a world that seems to think I tweet, therefore I am. Like if I go out and I tweet, that's solving a problem. But you're doing life changing work. There's no way to say anything about it. You're helping these children find homes. So can you just tell us about what you do and how all that works?
Absolutely. So I'm the director and founder of Sunshine State Adoption and Home Study Services, and I have been working with adoptive families for the past 22 years. My husband and I adopted 3 children internationally. We have 2 daughters from China and 1 from Guatemala. So that changed my career path, our whole lives, and so I started working in the adoption field at that time. So our agency, we're a nonprofit, fully state-licensed adoption agency, and we help connect families with babies and expectant moms and help them make their decision on the best path for adoption for them. So our agency, we specialize in the home study process where we actually go in and do all of the background clearances and the home visits and write a home study report, which is the first step in approving a family to adopt. And then we also help them, you know, work through which is the best path for adoption. Is it adopting a teenager from foster care, or maybe an international adoption, or a newborn infant domestic adoption? So we really work with families on that part too, to see what the best path for them would be.
Gotcha. So let's break that down a little bit. So first, let's talk about, is there a need? Now I'm asking a leading question, I know that, but I just want to try to get some context to it. Is there a need for people to adopt babies in Central Florida? And I guess that could be in all communities across the country. Are there babies that need to be adopted? Is that a problem?
Absolutely. There are babies that need to be adopted.
And so we need families that want babies. You know, I've always joked, like,
yes,
I've got 2 teenage daughters and they're awesome. And if you gave me a 4-year-old, I'd be great. I don't know that I want a baby. Like, that's a lot of work. So we do have these babies, and they need people. They need to be held and raised in all those important formative years. So there is demand out there, because there are these babies out there. So when you're thinking about, like, somebody's listening to this and they're thinking to themselves, gosh, well, like, man, I feel a little tug at my heart. How would someone know that they should adopt? What would it make you say, gosh, that's a great family that should think about adopting a baby?
We have a lot of families. Some of our families are called to adopt older children internationally, just because they know, you know, there might be a need for that in Africa. So, or, you know, there's other countries as well, Bulgaria. So some families just feel called to adopt an older child. Most of our families adopting babies, newborn infants, they've gone through the infertility process. So this is the next step in their journey to parenthood.
So in that scenario, that like they just feel like, hey, I want a child, and the kind of traditional path didn't kind of come together. And so they moved to this path, and then they contact you, and then that's how that process comes together.
Absolutely. Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
And so talk to us about this. You know, there are other kids. And again, I'm not trying to not focus on international. That's obviously important, too. I'm just trying to talk about this other one is like that you there's a lot of teenagers in the foster system. There's I guess people don't know that, but there's you could adopt a 15-year-old that really needs parents and needs resources and help. And just to jump ahead to this, you know, I know there's some agencies that help kids with housing, but once they turn 18, they're turned out, and some of those kids become homeless. That's a real thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. They become homeless. That's where a lot of the children that are trafficked are a product of our foster care system. They didn't have families, and yes. So there is a huge need for families to adopt teenagers and older children right here in the United States. A lot of times the children simply aren't adopted because they're teenagers. It's not always because they have huge behavioral or emotional needs. A lot of times they're just sitting there. They are waiting for a family and they're desperate for a family. They want to be adopted and they're not getting adopted because so many families prefer newborn children or maybe a toddler. So there is a huge need for these sweet teenagers.
Well, I get that. I guess in concept, it might seem weird to somebody to think about adopting a 16-year-old and then you're adopting a kid and then you have them for 2 years. And how does that kind of work together? So
there's a misconception about that. We always think, you know, oh, we're going to raise our children and they're going to turn 18 and they're either going to go to college or have a full-time job and be out of our house, and we won't have very much time with that child. But a family's forever. Our children need us well past the age of 18, and they always need part of a family. So, lot of the children are, once they're in the foster care system, many of the children are behind developmentally and academically, and require extra time and to catch up and extra resources with the school. So some of the times they're not ready. Most of the time they're not ready to leave at the age of 18. A lot of times they might need to still stay home and drive to the local state college. So much more goes into that.
You know, it's interesting. Like Mike and I were actually talking about this recently, but you know, what happens if a kid, you know, makes it through that tough situation and they go to college and they graduate, and the day they graduate from college, they're there and they're there alone. There's no family there. Like to your point,
right.
Like even if that kid makes straight A's, even if that kid goes to med school and we're like, oh my gosh, they're 20 years old and they're graduating, they're a medical doctor. But they're there alone. You still need people that are, you know, tell you like, you're awesome and you can do this. And, you know, God loves you and, you know, just do your best and let God do the rest. Like that kind of belief system putting into them. You know, I think I was 32 when my dad passed away, and I felt very much like I'm an adult. Like I'm good. I don't need a dad kind of a thing, but oh my gosh, at 51, I still need and benefit from older men that pour into my life. So that's interesting. I guess maybe I was thinking that from a legalistic standpoint of like, you know, oh, I'm just having this kid in my life from 16 to 18, but you're saying, hey, it's 16. It's for the rest of my life or any parent's life, because kids need that help, right?
They need that help.
They need
that support.
Who's going to walk them down the aisle, right? Like
exactly.
Who's going to be there for them? So,
and be there for their children. And they also need positive role models for parents and siblings and healthy family interactions to show them what it's like to raise children, because they are probably going to go on to have their own children. So they need the positive role models, the love, the connection, so they can be healthy parents themselves in the future.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so you adopted three children internationally, and then you've got people that are doing it domestically. And, do you have any, is it really just depend on the parents themselves? Like if somebody walked in and said, I feel called to adopt a kid, do you help sort of direct them and talk that out? Or how's that go?
We do help direct them and talk them through it and walk them through the path on what it would look like. A nice home. Most families, adoption is not for the faint of heart. So we usually, if families are interested in adopting older children, we do recommend that they adopt right here in the U.S. through the foster care system. That way we have all of the medical background on the child, case history, so we know everything about them. There's also resources in Florida and from other states where college is paid in Florida for children coming out of the foster care system. Sometimes there's a small stipend that goes with the child to assist with raising them. So usually adoption here in the United States is the best path. Sometimes we'll have families that have served as missionaries overseas, and they'll have a reason that they want to adopt from a specific country, and we can help with that as well. But it seems like it's harder and harder for families to adopt internationally. It could take 5 years to adopt internationally. So we do encourage families to adopt right here.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Deborah Hewitt. We're talking about adoption and the important work that she's doing. So we'll be right back.
The Central Florida Urban League has a mission to end generational poverty. For our youth, we offer one-on-one mentoring, crime prevention skills, and after-school homework. For adults, we are proud to offer a Microsoft Office Specialist Certification course, Registered Behavioral Technician Certification, as well as Entrepreneurship and Small Business Certification. For more information on our programs, please call us at 407-841-7654 or visit our website at cful.org.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
And we're back with Deborah Hewitt from the Sunshine State Adoption and Home Study Services. Deborah, I want to talk more about teenagers. I think that when we think about adoption, obviously we thought times about newborn. A lot of times we do think about international. And I think the one thing that tends to get a limited amount of discussion is adopting teenagers through a foster care system here in Central Florida. And when I reflect on that, and you've mentioned these kind of things to me before, is that sometimes we think about a teenager and maybe they're 16 or 17, and we think about them being on the cusp of being an adult. Well, they're fine. They got it. But some of these kids may not know how to drive a car, right? Because how would they ever been exposed to that? Or here's another one is maybe they don't know how to tie a tie, right? Or it's probably that these kids can go to college. There's resources because they've been in the foster system, but that doesn't mean the kid knows what college to go to. You know, I had a dinner the other day with a guy who's done mentoring some students in Baltimore. And he said that he helped this one kid, encourage the kid to go to college, bought him some books. He was just mentoring the kid who had no family. And when he met with the kid later on, he said, "What do you think of college?" And he named these like four ridiculous colleges. I mean, it was kind of, and I say ridiculous because he was like, University of Nebraska, the Naval Academy, Alabama, A&M, and then like something like Institute of something. And so my friend was like, "Why are you looking at those four schools? Like they have nothing in common." And the kid said, "Because those were the four that were at the fair." And so it was just the kid has no parent. And so when he went to this whatever expo thing, there were four colleges there. And so the four he was considering were the four that showed up, not the four that made the most sense for him. Right. And so, am I getting it that that's what some people may not mean missing? They may think these teenagers, well, do they really need to get adopted? They're kind of older. But there's a lot of life skills that you just can't pick up unless you have a parent that's in your ear and helping you through things. Am I getting it? Is that right?
You are getting it 100%. That is exactly what I was trying to say. Yes. So a lot of the children, they don't know how to drive a car because nobody's ever taught them. For schools, yes. When most families talk about colleges, yes, we talk about these big state universities, and sometimes those are too big or those are places they could get lost. But yes, they need adults to pour into them to say, you know, we can go to a state college right here. We can teach you to drive. We can take you back and forth. So absolutely. So they might have college paid for, but they don't have, the state would pay for college for children that have previously lived in foster care, but they only pay for the tuition. They don't pay for room and board or any of that. But once again, the children aren't always ready to leave the nest. They're happy. They finally have a family. They need to learn social skills. A lot of times they don't even know how to apply for college.
Right.
They don't have the FAFSA paperwork that the other children have. There's just so much that goes into it.
They may not have a laptop, right? They may not have the technology,
absolutely.
Right? Deborah, I know a young lady that my wife and I have done some helped her out some stuff, and she has a bachelor's degree. She just got a master's degree and was a straight A student, and now she wants to go to medical school. Like, super great young lady. Both her parents are deceased, and so not a super structure there. And so she texted me recently, and she said, "Hey, what are your thoughts about medical schools?" And I don't know much about that, but I just, being a human, I just was like, well, why don't we set you up a tour UCF medical school? And she texted me back and she said, "John, I've never been on a college tour in my life." And it just sort of blew me away. But when I was reflecting on it, like, you know, her parents hadn't gone to college. Now they're both deceased. And so the two colleges she went to, both undergrad and for a graduate, were just close to her house. She had actually never been on a college tour, right?
Wow. Like
another, and she's going to go to med school. I mean, and so you might, it would be so easy to look at somebody like her and be like, oh, she wouldn't need any help. But, you know, there's just so many avenues of life that we do need help. We do need support in different ways. And so it could be that somebody, you know, we've got a lot of retired people in our community. We got a lot of people in our community that maybe are bored. You shouldn't adopt a kid because you're bored. But what I mean is, like, really sort of thinking through, you have more to give, you have more life to live, and to think that through. So when we think about, you said the number one thing was when someone's adopted a baby, like, they're trying to have a baby, they're intentionally, and then they go that path. Makes sense. So how do we get in front of people who have the means and the skill set and say, hey, maybe you never thought about this, but we have these teenagers that need this help. How do we connect those dots? What does that look like?
A lot of families call us, and so they can adopt through their local lead agency, state agency. So one way they can do that is they can do everything free. So if they specifically want to adopt teenagers, I know there's Embrace Family, there's Children's Home Society, and they'll walk them through the whole process. And that's specifically for older children. And they can do that right in their county where they are. So if families want to adopt older children and spread out throughout Florida or the United States, we would help them do that. We would start with the home study process, and that usually just takes 4 to 6 weeks. And we would help the families do their training and everything that they need. So our agency does charge for that portion. But once they have their home study and their training, we help them set up their profile at adoptuskids.org, familymatch.org, on the different heart galleries. So we help them network and get matched with specific children that way.
Gotcha. So when somebody's listening to this, either on the radio show or through our podcast, you know, we obviously have listeners that are, you know, across the country. And so if they're listening to this and they're feeling like, gosh, you know, maybe this is a match for me, they don't have to make the decision immediately. You know, they can research and then they can contact you. And if you weren't able to help them because they're in Canada or someplace, but you could help them get the right person. But it's a process. And so they can learn about it. They can research it. They can receive training in it. And if somewhere along the way, if they're like, gosh, I really am not qualified for this for some reason, that's okay. But they can safely and securely just investigate it to see if it is a match for them.
Absolutely. Yes.
Gotcha. And so they could start with you. And so how would one get a hold of you if they needed to do that?
They can email Debra, D-E-B-R-A, at sunshinehomestudy.org, or they can call our office at 407-422-9136. We try to answer every call. Sometimes if we're on the other line, if they leave a message, we return all calls the same day.
That's awesome.
So, yes, and we welcome the phone calls and the emails.
And is there some, do you think, when you think about this, is there somebody that you think, oh my gosh, John, that kind of person is the perfect person to adopt a teenager? Like what jumps in your mind? Like they are blank. They're a professional golfer. I don't know. What is it that makes you say that's a good match?
We want warm, loving families that want to pour into the lives of children and make a difference in their world. So, yes, so warm and loving are the two characteristics that we're looking for.
Gotcha.
We're not looking for the perfect parent because nobody is, but yes.
So you're not looking for somebody that says, hey, I just want somebody to vacuum and cut the grass. That's not what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody that...
Not what we're looking for. Good luck getting a teenager to do all of that.
So it's probably somebody that's already raised some kids, right? They've been through that experience,
yes.
And that's been a positive experience
yes.
for them. And so how does that impact? Now let me ask this real quick. We're gonna run out of time, but I do want to ask you this. How has the pandemic affected adoption? Does that hurt it? I mean, I don't know. Was that a big deal for you guys?
It slowed down the process. It didn't affect the adoptions overall. What we saw was more children were stuck in the foster care system and that part because parental rights were not being severed. Most of the judges did not want to sever parental rights via Zoom call. It needed to be in-person court. So that's not very that whole process is not very positive anyway. But now in-person, since families can go to court now, rights are being severed and the process is moving along. And then for newborn infant adoptions, it did not impact those.
Gotcha. So last question, just with the teenagers one, just because it's important. Would you think that somebody thinking about doing this, like probably one thing they need to do is make sure they have their own health checked out. They need to be in good health, right? So making sure they've gotten a physical themselves, right? I would imagine that they probably want to maybe talk to their own attorney, right? Like there are legal things and issues come up. So having that thought through, and then thought through, hey, how is this going to impact our lifestyle, right? Like, you know, bringing a human into your house, you know, whether if you're a person that's been traveling a lot, you got to sort of rethink that. So are there any thoughts like that you think of, like things they should be thinking about in their lifestyle as how it impacts it all?
I think so, because as adults, we have to change our lifestyle to meet the child's needs. So yes, if they're used to traveling a lot, they can still travel with the children that they adopt. It just would probably have to be on the child's school breaks or, you know, so a lot more scheduling.
Honestly, I most of my life, I had no concept of holidays. I just was like a working guy. It wasn't until I had kids that I became aware of like, oh,
right.
Hey, you know, that's when, you know, whatever Arbor Day is, or, you know, whatever kind of holidays. Well,
yeah.
Listen, Debra, the work you're doing is super important and it's a solution, right? Like people can debate all kinds of hard topics. And some of those debates are important, but you're doing it. You're actually making an impact. And no matter what different issues happen out in the world, we're always going to have some children that need homes from loving parents. And so thank you for every day what you're doing. And I hope our listeners will take heart to this. And pray about it, think about that, and or maybe if they know someone to think about. And I really appreciate Highline Teenagers. So thank you, Deborah, for being a guest.
Thank you for having me. It was great talking with you.
Awesome. So thank you, Deborah Hewitt, being on the Crossman Conversation. Appreciate so much. And as always, remember to support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.